I was looking around in here outside and I see if any butterflies, and there wasn't any because I have them all. Anyway, about a while back, I was taking the exit off of Auburn Way into Highway 18. And there's about a mile stretch there where you have barriers on the center section and you have a barrier on the park, on the, where the section where you would park if you were taking off of the freeway. And as I went on Highway 18, going east, coming home, I looked over to the left and there was a mallard duck with seven little ducks, little babies following her. I don't know how they got there because you look back about a mile and there was barrier there and there was a barrier on both sides. You look ahead and there was a barrier. And she was walking on that inside of the barrier there, of the center section, and she couldn't get out and she couldn't go back. She kept going up, and so I saw her, so I went off of the next exit, turned around, came back, circled around the Auburn exit, came back where she was at, and I parked over to the side. And pretty soon there was another fellow that came up too as well and parked over to the side, trying to get people to stop so we could get her over and off of the barrier and get her over the side. We called for the state patrol, believe it or not. And here we got this little mama duck with her little ducklings going up one side, coming back down the other one. And she'd turn around and she'd find some grass in there and she thought she could get through this barrier, but it was grass and she couldn't figure this thing out. So she kept taking her, and her little ducks were following her wherever she went. Boy, they weren't going to let her go at all. So what happened was, here comes the police, and also there was what they call a critter control. And I never heard of a critter control, but I was sure glad to see him at the time, because the police started stopping all the traffic coming east. And here we are, this little mama duck and her ducklings. We have all the traffic coming east stopped. And here the police was out there, and the critter control brought this great big scoop, a net. And what happened was, she came out and she grabbed a couple of them, and this other fellow was there. We went out, I grabbed one, and he grabbed one. We finally took them up, put them over the barrier that was toward the grass, and they got away. Now, you got to remember this. When I was looking at that, I immediately asked God to help this poor little family, because they were stuck. They couldn't go anywhere. They depended on us. They depended on us to help them out. So I thank God with all my heart that he finally found a way and made a way that they could finally be free and we could help them. Because at the time, there was no hope. They would have been smashed. And the cars, you'd be surprised, cars didn't care. They're just ducks. But boy, I'll tell you, to me, it was everything in my being to try to get those little things over to the side and to help them to be free. But it did. So I kind of, if you're in for a title to the sermon of today, it's God Will Make a Way. In John 14:6, Jesus Christ says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. In Luke 10:25, I'll just read it. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus, and teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbors yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. In Mark 12:28, there's another rendition of this, which I'll also read. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbors yourself There is no greater commandment than these. Recently, I shared with you how God helped me have a soft heart instead of the hard heart that I portrayed for years. I was deceived into thinking that the control process was a way of life and that's what God wanted me to be and to do as being a servant of the home. Leadership, I thought, was to be in the control process. I was asking God to help me love Him with all my heart and with all my mind. He showed me, through my wife and counseling, what that meant. I was to change my behavior on focusing on the person that I was hurting rather than on myself, which was totally self-centered. God will make a way. Now, sometimes we ask God for things, and I guess sometimes we have to be careful what we ask for, because He's going to answer. God says to love Him with all my soul. Now, I recently asked God to help me to understand what He meant by this process, love Him with all my soul. In studying the concordance, I saw that the soul meant to breathe. I can remember Mr. Herbert Armstrong used to emphasize this so much when he said, we do not have an immortal soul. And it brought back some real fond memories. Compton's expert commentary says, breath of life. Humans and animals alike have the breath of life in them. See Genesis 1:30 and Job 33:4. Man became a living being. The Hebrew phrase here is translated living being, is translated living creatures. In Genesis 1:20 and 24, the words of Genesis 2:7 therefore imply that people, at least physically, have affinity with the animals. The great difference is that man is made in the image of God, Genesis 1:27, and has absolutely unique relation both to God and his servant, as his servant, and to the other creatures as their divinely appointed steward, in Psalm 8:5-8. When I left the Air Force back in 1969, I remember when I got out, I used to weigh 186 pounds, 34 waist. I used to exercise when I was over in Thailand. I used to go around the baseball field there all the time. I used to go there to do my exercise every day, and I loved it and enjoyed it. As I grew older, I gradually left this lifestyle of exercise and was not really watching my eating habits. In 35 years, I saw my waist go from 34, might as well just turn it around, 43, 44, and also by 86 went up to 275 pounds. 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, which I have kept in check through a diet to some degree. I don't have to have insulin, but it's because of the overweight, and it's because of the eating habits. Time has elapsed, and God helped me to see that this was another area of my life that I allowed myself to stay in denial for years. One morning on the way to work, I was given there was an ad given over the radio. Now, you remember this, driving, I'll be 64 next month, and when you have a senior moment, you're driving away, you're trying to remember a phone number. I mean, have you ever tried that? Well, this is one that caught my attention right away, because it says this is for persons with type 2 diabetes that are overweight. And I thought, boy, do I have to listen to this? And is this really truth to me? I says, and all the fingers were pointing at me, and I said, well, maybe God's trying to tell me something here, you know. So I, in my senior moment, tried to remember this phone number, so I said it over and over and over again, to the point of now, till I pulled over, I got out my pen, I got out my paper, and I wrote it down. Now, I said, I'm going to call them. So I did. I gave them a call, and they said, well, come on in. And I thought, well, maybe they're really too anxious, because I'm not sure if they're that anxious for me to come in, there must be... maybe there's something wrong with it. But I said, I might as well give it a try, because I can always say no if I have to. And since the interview was a couple weeks away, I went ahead and went and saw my family doctor, and I went in there. I go over there every 3 months because of this issue I have. And he says, well, why don't you try it? He says, it might be good. So my first introduction, I went in. I said, okay, I'll go in. So I went in there, and they said that this is an education and support group process. The government has issued the University of Washington $160 million for this study. And he says, we don't have drugs, and it's strictly an educational and support group process. So right there, I just thought, well, this is fantastic. Why not take advantage of it? And so my second visit was an introduction to the program and to what diabetes really is and what reflection it does with your blood sugar, both low and high. And I'll tell you, brethren, it's a real slow, it's a real backward process that you're in, because a lot of people don't know that they have it. I didn't know until the doctor hinted that it was because of being overweight. And also, my blood sugar was bad at that time. But it's something we have to watch. And this is one of the reasons I was looking into this, is I asked God to, I can love him with all my soul. And the soul is my body and my breath, and I want to do that. But boy, when you're getting 64, it's not easy. It was as easy as when you were 34, you know, because your whole being is starting to go downhill and to change. My third visit was a complete measurement of arms, legs, and waist. And they had blood pressure cuffs on my wrists and on my ankles, on my upper arm. They had a special way that they listened to this to make sure that your arteries weren't plugged. So they went through all this process, and they wanted to make sure that you were fit before they took you in this study. So I was very grateful for the opportunity to go through this physical exam before I went to the exercise process that I was starting to anyway. So it kind of gave me the impetus to say, give me some enthusiasm to go through it. Then there was my last test was a bone density test, and also the last blood test that I would have to take. And that came out okay. So they said, it's okay for you to come to our study group, and so I'll be starting Monday morning. And when I learn about this and I get more information on it, I'll be glad to share it with anybody that would be interested in that part of it. Now I get up in the morning and get on my treadmill, and I start out at 10 minutes and add a minute a day when I first started this, so it wouldn't be too exhausting, because I think if you go too fast, too soon, you can do some damage. So I started at 10 minutes, added a minute a day, and until I got up to 20 minutes, and now I stay on 20 minutes. Going through this process reminds me of when I first was called by our great God and how excited I was. Now, when we learn new things, and I classify this as a new thing for me, and it might not be new for a lot of people because they might be doing this, but when you get back on the right track and in concert with God, it makes you feel absolutely wonderful. And the fact that you know that God is with you and you're with God, and God will make a way for you. He promises that. Sometimes it's hard to face the reality and the truth of the matter. I know it's hard for me. It was for me at the beginning until I started finding out that the results were awesome. Once I started to feel the results of the truth that I was facing, the reality of what I was doing and what I wasn't doing right, and that I wanted to do it right, it started turning around. It became easier and easier and easier to be able to follow what God wanted me to do. But it's hard to be truthful with yourself. I would like to close with a scripture that I hold very dear to my heart, because this is something that God helped me understand as well. And I know I've read this before many times, but this one time I read it, it put a little bit more emphasis behind it because it made it more personal. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you, that you are received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. How awesome that is, that our great God, that our elder brother came down and gave his life for us. Therefore, honor your God with your body. God will make a way.